Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 203, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. In sweet communion, Lord, with Thee, I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thy own, to keep me near Thy side. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 203. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Jeremiah, thereof the 23rd chapter. Jeremiah chapter 23. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill. And thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Jeremiah chapter 23. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. And behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them and shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord, and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, and for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane, yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, Let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto him, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor, and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophets, to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee, and what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say, the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say, the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Dustin Grisnick, who is still in the hospital in Calgary. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal, long-suffering God, who dwellest in the heavens and we upon thy footstool, one more Sabbath day, thou dost permit us to gather together one more Sabbath day in this year to begin in this morning hour, to come unto thy house of prayer. Oh, there shall come an end to the Sabbath days of this year. At the end of this day, there shall come an end to the Sabbath days in this world, at that great judgment day. Then there shall begin an eternal Sabbath day for thy blessed church. Lord, then they shall go in, and they shall come no more out. Oh, then they shall receive the blessed desire of their heart that thou hast planted in the day of thy grace, of that new birth, that desire to magnify and to glorify thy holy and thy worthy name. Oh, that thou may instruct each and every one of us, and while we are still here upon this earth, to begin to magnify thee. Lord, it layeth not in our hearts by nature, because we are so dead in sins and in trespasses, And we have desire, yes. We have much desire. We have desire after all the things that are temporal, worldly, carnal, and that are passing away. O Lord, wilt thou instruct us that soon, that as this year goes by, that so our life that also quickly comes to its end, that we may be given in our life to acknowledge that we must stand before our Maker, that we may be given eyes, O Lord, in this day to see, that thou may have mercy upon us and upon our dear children while the time is still extended unto us. And may thou keep us from going in our own way, from walking after our own hearts, from fulfilling in our life all the wicked and evil desires that lay within our sinful and depraved hearts. Lord, thou alone can stop us. And when we have entered into thy house in this last Sabbath day of this year, Lord, when so many Sabbath days have gone by, maybe without profit for our poor soul, oh, that we may receive a cry then in this morning hour to the living God of the heavens and of the earth, that thou would hear us yet, even in this last Sabbath of this year, that we may receive an urgency for the need of our poor soul as we are traveling to that never-ending eternity. Oh, that we may not be before the day of our death without a day that we have earnestly cried unto the God of the heavens and of the earth, our Maker and our Creator, that we are fallen away from thee and that we have rebelled against thee. Oh, that we have besought thy face, that we may again be brought by thee into thy blessed favor and communion. Lord, we have no hope in ourselves as we lie so dead in sins and in trespasses, but we have only hope in thee, who is sitting at the right hand of thy Father, and in whom is all power given in heaven and in earth. Oh, may thou then stretch forth in this day thy mighty hand yet. Oh, that thou in this day may speak the word only, Lord, and then we shall be healed with our dear children. Oh, then we shall receive the resurrection from that spiritual death. And then we shall begin to cry as a newborn babe. Oh, do instruct, do work that great and indispensable miracle in the heart of each and every one of us. Oh, thou left not one of thy children behind in that land of Egypt, Lord. Oh, leave not one of us behind when thou wilt deliver thy church. Oh, that each and every one of us may be taken also by thy mighty arm, by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that there would not be one that is left in this worldly way in which we travel, but wilt thou bring us on that straight and that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Lord, instruct thy church. Oh, we plead for them, Lord. Oh, do instruct them in the last Sabbath of this year. Oh, give to them a holy desire. Give to them a holy disgust for sin. Oh, that they may flee therefrom when thou hast called them out of darkness into thy marvelous light. Oh, their body thou dost say that is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Lord, may thou give them to feel it. Oh, that thou would give that fleeing from all iniquity and transgression, that they may be given to take hold of thy covenant when they are not able to fight against that prince of darkness, when they find their hands so weak
to walk in the paths of righteousness. Lord, may thou give them then to behold thine only begotten Son and all that he has accomplished for them and in the behalf of those that have transgressed against thee. Oh, may thou feed thy flock, Lord, as that great shepherd, and wilt thou lead them unto living waters and unto the fat pastures of free and sovereign grace. Wilt thou look upon us as a congregation? Lord, be with all that are sick and afflicted. Wilt thou give health and strength unto them again? Bless also thy callings and thy dealings in the midst of us as a people, and that thou may not suffer us to depart from thy ways. Wilt thou remember the child that is still in the hospital far away in this day? Lord, wilt thou give further health and strength to his weak body? May thou bless the labors of the physicians for the need of his body. May thou look upon his soul with all his parents and family together. And Lord, wilt thou remember all those that suffer from serious diseases, those that have a depression in the mind, especially in these days where we know that in the world so many are so depressed and that even are brought to that awful suicide in this time of the year. Lord, may thou look upon all such ones and give them yet to cry to thee, and that thou may hear from heaven thy dwelling place, all that we may not find our happiness here below, but that we may find our only comfort in him who alone is the comfort of his church. Lord, wilt thou be with widows, widowers, and orphans, all those that are not married and those that go over the world alone, and those who have troubled marriages and difficulties and trials. Lord, may thou supply for children, for husbands, for wives, for widows, for widowers, and for orphans, and all those that need thee in a special way. Wilt thou give also that at the end of this year that they may be given a little eye to see that all the wretchedness and the misery that is in this world that will soon come to an end, but that they need to be prepared, that they may receive another father, that they may receive another husband that shall never leave and shall never forsake them. Lord, wilt thou go before the children and the youth? They do look forward to a life here below that is so natural to the youth. O Lord, wilt thou give them also an impression that it is but a short time, that there is also an end that is coming to all that is in this world, that they may be given that true wisdom in the days of their youth to remember their Creator and to seek for that portion that they cannot miss, that shall make them so happy in this life, but also in that life to come. Lord, so go with us in mercy. Help thou us in this morning hour, and when we are called to bring thy holy word, and when we hope to consider once again what thou hast given to us by our forefathers. Lord, may thou go before us. May thou open our lips in the presence of the congregation in whose midst thou hast brought us to serve. Lord, fill our heart with pity and compassion. Fill our heart with love for the souls of each and every one together. Oh, fill us with thy Holy Spirit all together. Oh, that it may be a moment in this morning that thou hast in the day of Pentecost did come and to strike the hearts of many, that they may be given to cry out and to say, men and brethren, what shall we do? Lord, so there shall be joy in heaven, even in this last Sabbath of this year. Lord, do it. We don't deserve it. Our sins so testify against us in a personal way and also in an official way. But wilt thou take reasons out of thyself to look upon us in thy mercy and to spread thy healing wings over us, young and old together. Lord, we beseech thee for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 373, stanzas 1, 3, 7, 8, and 9. Oh, praise ye the name of Jehovah. Proclaim ye his glory abroad. Oh, praise him, ye servants appointed to stand in the house of our God. The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 373, stanzas 1, 3, 7, 8, and 9. And when this people, or the prophet, or the priest shall ask thee, saying, What is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, What burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. What was, congregation, the burden of the Lord unto Israel? And that was not only to the people of Israel, but it is speaking here also about the prophet or the priest. They are asking, what now is the burden of the Lord? What was the burden of the Lord? That was to hear the word of the true prophet. That was to hear that word that came out of the lips of the Lord himself. That was to walk in the commandments of the Lord. That was to love the Lord. That was to serve the Lord in uprightness and in truth. That this was to him, they called it even, the burden of the Lord. Oh, see how far that man has fallen. Because this was now our delight at one time. That was in our creation when the Lord could say of you and of me, Behold, it is very good. Then everything in our heart and everything in our whole life that was going out to that blessed service of the Lord. Congregation, how is it now for us? Has it now been in this past year? Because it is now the last Sabbath. How is that, boys and girls? How is that, young people? Another Sabbath, you say, the last Sabbath of this year. But when you are honest with yourself, then do you also say, as was said of Israel, that this was now my greatest burden? That it was a burden to me to come up unto the house of the Lord. That really it is a burden to me, and that I have to read in the Bible and to bow my knees before the Lord, and the more quickly that I can be finished, the better. Oh, then we are no different than what the Lord has rebuked in his own people. And then what did the Lord say? The Lord said, What burden? He said, Behold, I will even forsake you. Oh, when this is now the burden of our heart, then the Lord says that he will dwell with us no longer. Congregation, what shall that eternal glory be? We come this day to the last Sabbath of the year. But there is an eternal Sabbath, and that begins upon the death of his servants. And that is also beginning at the end of this world. That is a Sabbath that shall be forever and forever. Would that be a burden now to us? Because if all the Sabbaths of this year have been a burden to us, then why should we have any desire to enter into an eternal Sabbath? No, the Sabbath day, the blessedness of that Sabbath day, that does not begin at the end of their life. But the blessedness of the Sabbath that is beginning already here below. And we wish, and with the help of the Lord, to consider this out of our Heidelberg Catechism in this morning, because we hope to have installation of office bearers in this afternoon. And so we wish to consider in this morning, Lord's Day 34, thereof questions 94 and 95. Lord's Day 34, questions 94 and 95. What doth God enjoin in the first commandment? Answer, that I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul, avoid and flee from all idolatry, sorcery, soothsaying, superstition, invocation of saints, or any other creatures, and learn rightly to know the only true God. Trust in Him alone, with humility and patience, submit to Him. Expect all good things from Him only. Love, fear, and glorify Him with my whole heart, so that I may renounce and forsake all creatures, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to His will. Question 95, what is idolatry? Answer, idolatry is instead of or besides that one true God who has manifested Himself in His Word, to contrive or have any other object in which men place their trust. So far, our Heidelberg Catechism. The first commandment. First, what is required. Second, what is forbidden. The first commandment, what is required and what is forbidden. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is, congregation, the very foundation. That is now the very basis of that holy law of God. That is dealing with true worship. That is that for which we have been created, to worship God. And in this first commandment, and when we read, thou shalt have no other gods before me, then it is instructing us whom that you and I ought to worship. And then it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Who is that? Thou. That is, in a certain way, the whole world. Because the commandments of the Lord have been written on the heart of every man in our creation. And as being the creature of the Lord, the creation of the Lord, then the whole creation owes their whole being unto God. But then it is in a special way His own church. Because they have not only been created by the Lord, but they have also been redeemed by the Lord. Therefore, they were given that holy law once again after that the Lord has brought them out of Egypt, and that He has made them in a separate way from all the nations of this world His own people. And then He gave them His law, and then He said to them, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Then it is also, congregation, so personal. When the Lord says, thou, that He speaks of to each and every one of us in a personal way, that there is not one of us that in this day comes outside of that command and of that demand of the Lord. And now our instructors, they will give an explanation of the command of the Lord. Because then they are asking, what doth God enjoin in that first commandment? And they answer that I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul. Thus, what do our fathers want to do? Then they want to say, how great ought to be our devotion to worship the Lord. How sincere that ought to be. Thus they want to make a comparison with something in this world for us, so that we may understand that it is not just in a light manner that we are to consider the worship of the Lord, but that we are to consider that as something demanded of the Lord, that it ought to weigh on us, that it ought to be sincere. Thus, what do they compare that sincerity to? Well, then they choose something. They say, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul. That's sincere. But congregation, how sincere is that for us? Our fathers have tried to choose something that they considered to be the most sincere thing in the life of a person. And to this they have compared it. But when we must ask ourselves this morning, how sincerely actually do I desire the salvation of my own soul? When the Lord would come and visit us in our home, then how sincerely would He find that you and I desire the salvation of our soul? We are sincere about many things. Or maybe our fathers ought to have chosen then something else. As sincerely as I desire all the things in this world, as sincerely as my heart follows after wickedness, congregation, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul, the devil, he even said, skin for skin, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. That is for our temporal life. But how much will we give for our soul? With that same sincerity that ought to be for our soul, our fathers say, in this commandment, the Lord commands us to avoid and flee from all idolatry, sorcery, soothsaying, superstition, invocation of saints, or any other creature, and learn rightly to know the only true God. To know. What is that? That is knowledge. Thus our fathers say, in order to worship God, then knowledge is required. We cannot worship an unknown God. But that knowledge we have lost in our fall. And therefore, it is necessary that we attain, in the first place, this knowledge again. How may we receive that knowledge? The Lord has given to us His Word. And in His Word, the Lord is showing to us who
that he himself is.
But true worship that is required of us in this commandment, not only outward worship, not only coming to his house, but true worship that is required of us, that is beginning when? That is beginning in the day only of our new birth. Outside of that true regeneration, then it is impossible to exercise one true spiritual activity. Thus, it is impossible to worship God outside of that new birth. Thus, the Lord, he will give knowledge, because that is necessary, unto his church of himself, that they may worship him. He does that when he gives them faith. That is in the moment of that new birth, that planting of true faith in their soul. And one of the aspects of that faith is knowledge. Isn't that right, catechism students? Knowledge, assent, and trust. Thus, not only that temporal knowledge, but that true experimental knowledge of God. And thus, the Lord will give his church to experience something of who he is in that Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What does the apostle say? This is life eternal, that we might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And rightly learn to know the only true God. When we must learn to know that true God, that is not only in himself as he is, but that is also concerning the relationship that we have unto him. Thus, to come to know that true God, then we must come to know that I am also the creature of that God. That I have been created by that God. And for what has that God created me? He has created me for himself. He has created me for his honor, for his glory. Thus, when we speak about the knowledge of that true God and our relationship to him as his creature, then we must see that we owe our whole being unto that God. We owe him all our heart. We owe him all our service. We owe him all our thoughts, all our words, all our deed, all our strength. We owe him everything concerning our whole life. We owe him all our time. We owe him all of our energy. Therefore, our fathers, they say, love, fear, glorify him with my whole heart. Congregation, did that ever give us to weep? Here we have already the first commandment. Oh, did that ever give us to weep? Did we ever see our transgression already against that first commandment as the creature made by God and missing that purpose for which he has created me? Oh, did that ever give me to turn from my sin, that I may leave all this world behind, and that I may return again
into the blessed favor and communion of that God who is the God of my very being. Our relationship to Him. He is not only our Creator, but He is also our Judge. What does that mean? That knowledge of that true God, and learn rightly to know the only true God. That means rightly to know, to learn that I have to stand soon before Him. And that I am going to be judged by that true God concerning all the works of my hands and concerning every thought that is lying in the innermost being of my soul. Oh, did that ever make us to tremble because of the knowledge of the filth and of the corruption and of the pollution, and that is living in my soul, and that is coming forth from me day after day? Did that ever make me to turn and to flee from the judgment of God, to flee from our condemnation, to flee from that wrath to come? Thus, the first commandment of the Lord. And now, how is it by nature? By nature, congregation, we have no impression of the commandment of the Lord. And when we speak about our creation, or when we speak about that God who has made us, and then it does not draw us from our sin to return to Him. When we consider the judgment, then we put that day so far away from us that there is nothing that is impelling us that we may flee from that wrath to come and learn rightly to know that only through God. Maybe you say He is also a Father. He is also merciful. He is also gracious. Congregation, what could be more true? Who is more long-suffering? Who is more merciful? Who is more gracious than our Maker and our Creator? David, he wanted to fall into the hands of that God when, after he had transgressed against Him, he said, "Let me not fall into the hands of man, because man is not merciful, man is not gracious, no." But David knew who that the Lord is. Even to such a wretched creature as he was, even after he had transgressed against Him, then he said, "Let me fall into His hands." Oh, there is nothing that is more true than that this God is so long-suffering, so merciful, and so gracious. But how did we come to know this in our life? Because that certainly makes a great difference. The Lord Jesus did not say to the Pharisees that God is your Father. No, the Lord said to the Pharisees, they were also within the outward confines of the church. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Ye are of your father the devil." Oh, what is our relationship unto God as we sit under the truth and as we hear His word Sabbath after Sabbath, as long as we are yet unconverted, that He is not our Father, no, but then we also are of our father, the devil. Congregation, if He will be our Father, that means you and I need to be adopted by Him. He has a Son, an only begotten Son. But He also has more children. He also has adopted children. Thus, something has to take place in our life. We need to be born of Him. We need to become from a child of the devil unto a child of God. What an awful relation, but what a blessed relation. On the other hand, all what is now our desire, and learn rightly to know the only true God. Congregation, we cannot rightly know that true God without regeneration. Impossible. Oh, it is possible that a man comes to learn something about that true God in his life without regeneration. And indeed, every man in this world will eventually come to know something of that true God. And it is possible to know of that true God that He is holy. And it is possible to experience in our life that He is just and that He is righteous and that He cannot pass by one transgression. Then it is possible to experience in our life that He is a God of wrath and that He is a God of anger against sin. But as long as we know nothing of grace, then we can never know Him as He is to be known. We can never know Him rightly, because we can never know anything of His mercy. We can never know anything then of His grace. Congregation, do you feel it? Oh, the very first commandment, we would impress it this morning upon your heart. We are only beginning now the consideration of the commandments of the Lord. One of the uses of that law, that is for the knowledge of sin, that we might know how great that our sins and our miseries are. We know what has to happen in our life, that there must come room for a mediator, for a savior, for a redeemer for our soul. Oh, lay then these matters next to your own heart and next to your own life, that it may be well with us for eternity, and that we may receive that true conviction of sin, go home to your places, to your inner chambers, and say, Lord, I do not know, I do not worship, I do not love, and that true God, my Maker, my Creator. Lord, impress it upon my soul, give me grief in my heart, give me to mourn, and give me to flee unto that true God. Learn rightly to know the only true God and trust in Him alone. That is the opposite of idolatry, to trust in Him alone, because idolatry, our fathers say, is instead of or besides that one true God who has manifested Himself in His Word to contrive or have any other object in which men place their trust. The heathen nations, in the time of Israel, we know they worshipped idols, boys and girls. When the Philistines conquered Israel and they brought with rejoicing that Ark of the Lord to their own land, where did they place it? They placed it before Dagon, their idol, their god. Oh, how they honored him. And they had trusted in him. They had cried to him. And now they say, He has given us the victory. And He is stronger than that God of Israel. Oh, if only the children of Israel had put their trust in the Lord God. But the Lord had to complain of His own people, that they trusted in Egypt, and that they trusted in the flesh, and that they trusted in the horses. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Congregation, in what other god, in what other idol do you and I place our trust? What gives us rest? What gives us comfort as we are going through this world beside him?
Does it give us comfort when we have to go into the hospital and when we know that that doctor is well renowned for his skill? Does that give us comfort? Does it give us comfort that we have all the technology and medicines? Does that give some rest as we go forward to a very serious operation? Then we do not place our trust in God, but we place it in men. Does it give us some rest that we have some kind of insurance? Does that make us feel just a little bit better? Because then if the providences of the Lord are such that things are coming against me, then the Lord is not able actually to touch me in my life. Does that give me some rest that we have very strong armed forces, an army, a navy, that is much greater strength than that of the enemy? Rabshakeh did the same. Oh, there were so many armies. We can read it in the Word of God. Find them when you come home, boys and girls. Find them. How many times? That they were great armies. And those armies, with all their might, they were put to flight. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Does it give us a little rest that we have a strong economy? That we have a hope that our prosperity that will continue to go? Does it give us a little hope that we have a large savings in the bank? So that when we become old, well, then we shall have enough. Does it give us a little hope that this man or that man has the qualifications to do this or that? Mordecai, he said to Esther, you must go in before the king. Did he put his trust in Esther? No. Blessed man. What did he say? He says that you must go in. But he says, if you altogether hold your peace at this time, then the Lord shall give enlargement and deliverance to the Jews from another place. No, Esther, you are but a means. You are but a tool in the hand of the Lord. But it is the Lord himself that is going to deliver the children of Israel out of that hand of the enemy. Trust in him alone. Congregation, what an impossibility from our side, but what a blessing. Gideon could not trust in the Lord. He had to ask the Lord, will you show me again? Oh, that faith, that trust that needs to be given also in its exercises. Jonathan, he may go in that strength of the Lord God. Against that enemy, he may say to his comrades, he says, it is nothing with the Lord to save by many or by a few. It doesn't matter. Oh, David could leave all his sword and weapons behind. And when he may go forward to defeat that mighty Philistine. Therefore, David may write, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. Oh, how little, people of the Lord, do we put our trust in him. Oh, what a blessed place of Hezekiah. And when with that huge army all about the city, and a mocking enemy,
He may answer him not a word, and he may lay before the Lord that letter of that enemy. Blessed place. Trust in him alone, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to his will. Renounce all creatures, Abraham. O Abraham, he had also a difficulty to put his trust in the Lord. She is my sister. Rahab, they went out before you have come. Peter, I do not know him. Trust in him alone. Let us sing. Psalter 308, stanzas 2 and 3. The idol gods of heathen lands are but the work of human hands. They cannot see, they cannot speak. Their ears are deaf, their hands are weak. Like them shall be all those who hold to gods of silver and of gold. 2 and 3 of Psalter 308. Our second thought, what this commandment forbids, that I, as sincerely as I desire the salvation of my own soul, avoid and flee from all idolatry, sorcery, soothsaying, superstition, invocation of saints, or any other creatures. Sorcery.
The supposed use of supernatural powers over people and events in this world as black magic, as witchcraft. The devil, young people, is very busy in this world. You know that sometimes you hear of those who go to such wicked places, but that you hear of miraculous things taking place, that you say, how can that be? Remember that the devil is also permitted a certain power in this world. You know that the Lord performed miracles when he would bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. But then there were certain miracles that the magicians were permitted to copy. Why? Because the Lord was going to harden that heart of Pharaoh. Thus the Lord is still to this day in his sovereign good pleasure. He is permitting many people to be deceived by the devil himself with the power that he gives into his hand at times. Soothsaying, that is to foretell the future. The devil does not know the future. No, it is the Lord who knows the future. Superstition. To subscribe supernatural or divine powers to things which are commonplace. How many people, they wear some kind of a charm around their neck, or they place some kind of a charm in their vehicle, and let them be without it once, and they are filled with fear. Superstition. Why is there no number 13 hospital room or hotel room? Because of our superstitious hearts. Invocation of saints and other creatures, as if saints and other creatures were able to hear us. Our nature is so inclined to such foolishness. And we know Rome, they are guilty of this. But even Cornelius, he would worship Peter. But Peter told him, stand up, I also am a man. So we read of John that he was going to worship the angel in Revelation. But the angel said, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant. No, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Congregation, how is that now in our life? Our instructors, they say with humility and patience to submit to him, to submit to that true God. Or do we submit to his commandments? Israel, when the Lord first gave them the law, then they said that all the commandments of the Lord, they said, we will do. They meant it. It was their desire. Is that also even our desire? That is actually the desire of that new life. But how is it in the continuance, people of the Lord? Because with Israel, as they went through Egypt, and then very soon it was exposed that there was still rebellion lying in their heart. With humility and patience to submit to him, to his commandments, to his chastisements, or to agree with him. That is not according to our flesh. As Job, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. With Eli, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. With David, let him curse, because the Lord hath bidden him. Or with humility and patience to submit to him, his commandments, His chastisement, His will. Whatever that His will may be for us to bow, to let Him be God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Our instructors, they say that means to expect all good things from Him only. Where do we expect good things from? We expect good things from the labors of our hands. Oh, congregation, how the Lord in one moment can blow upon all the labors of our hands. They are all gone. Why did Jacob's cattle increase and Laban's not? That was because of the hand of the Lord that has intervened. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, congregation. Do we worship now this God? Is this God also your God? We said that is impossible outside of that new birth. Do you ever feel that? Oh, we trust in everything but Him. Still, He gives us our daily food and drink. We have so many gods before Him. And still, He provides us with health and strength. Oh, does His goodness never lead us to repentance? This commandment that is the foundation, we said, of all the others. How is it now when we begin? How can we begin? How can we go forward with all of the rest of the commandments of the Lord if we have no regard for this God? Obedience to that law that is flowing out of Him. Did that ever become our guilt? Or have we no desire now for that true God? Or can you see a little bit now, even with your mind, that you say, I do not worship that God? Congregation, do not let it go. When you go away now from this place, oh, then go upon your knees and beseech the Lord to give you an impression that you are so, so far away from the true worship of God. Boys and girls, go to your homes, go to your inner chambers, go by your bed and bow your knees and say, Lord, the minister has begun with only the first commandment of the Lord, and I am already so guilty because my whole heart loves the world and I have no desire after the true and the living God. Oh, may that commandment of the Lord bring us in the guilt before Him, and that we also may see a need, that we may see a preciousness, that we may see a blessed suitability in His only begotten Son, who has come into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. And who is able to remove as far as the east from the west is distant all our many, many transgressions from us. Amen. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, Lord, do not let it go. O convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Lord, that many may be brought to cry out this day, Lord, I am unconverted.
Lord, I need a new heart. Lord, remember me. Instruct us in the last Sabbath of this year, Lord, if it may be with a true conversion, and draw our hearts and with that love to thee, who art so good unto us, though we have departed from thee days without number. Wilt thou forgive all that is sinful, also of this morning hour? Bless thy word. Bring us safely home and with desire in thy house again in this afternoon hour. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 428, stanzas 5 and 6. Oh, teach me, Lord, the way that I should go, and then shall thy servant walk therein forever. Give understanding all thy paths to know, and then shall I keep thy law with zealous fervor. Instruct me in thy perfect will, and lo, I shall observe it with my whole endeavor. 5 and 6 of Psalter 428.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.